Let's catch up with Tony Scott from Scotty Betts TV and the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Steve.
And now of more fame, because you've just launched a brand new podcast with the wonderful Greg O'Keefe as well. He used to be the Everton editor at the Liverpool Echo. It's called All Together. Is it called All Together Now, or is it called the Bramley Moore podcast? What is it?
It's called the All Together Now podcast.
All Together Now podcast. It's for devout blues. You've done about three episodes so far. There's going to be one a week. You're getting special guests in each week to talk about some of the big Everton issues. So you've gone in strong, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've started with
Alan Myers.
Yeah.
We had Rob Palmer on last week talking Marco Silva. And now we had this week an exclusive with Joe Anderson, which obviously the big news that has come from the podcast was that Everton will be obviously looking elsewhere in the world within the rights for funding of the stadium. They're not just looking at the Liverpool City Council to fund us, so they're looking elsewhere. And I think that was the big story to come from the podcast.
Right, so Joe Anderson, you record this down at Bramley Moor, don't you?
Yeah, it's down at the Bramley Moor pub, which is quite unique.
Yeah, it's quite a nice little twist to it all, isn't it?
It's got a lovely view as well. We're on top of the pub, so to speak, a little studio up there, and obviously guests come in, and you can oversee the Bramley Moor dock. It's a fantastic view point, and obviously where Everton's future home will be.
Yeah, that lovely view will be destroyed in the future.
That sewage plant next door.
Tell us a bit more about this Joe Anderson interview then. So obviously, I think for Blues, you know, there was such euphoria last year when everything was announced and confirmed about the Bramley Moor. Was it last year? What month are we talking about?
Yeah, last year it was, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just dragged on. And everyone is constantly sort of on tenterhooks thinking, well, there must be an announcement soon.
I'm like that. I'm very much in the same mold. I look and I go, what's going on with the stadium? What's going on with the stadium? But if you do go down there, Steve, you'll totally understand the complications around it. It's a dock. It's a World Heritage site. It's not just spare land on the East Lancs Road where you can just knock a stadium up in 5 minutes. It's a huge, huge dock area. So there's a lot of complications behind it. There's grade two listed buildings around. It's a World Heritage site. Everton have already paid £20 million for the land alone straight away. You've got construction costs. You've got everything that takes into consideration, the funding behind it. Now, Liverpool City Council already going through the due diligence of trying to get every scrap of paper to make sure everything is notified through solicitors and legal fees from what they're going to be offering Everton in terms of a loan and funding. So this just doesn't happen overnight yet. It's dragging on. But this is a unique stadium that's going to be built on the Liverpool waterfront. It's not going to happen overnight. But interestingly, Joe Anderson did say on the podcast that he still fully expects it to be 2022-23 season.
Clear this one up for me. This could just be whispers.
It's not from Liverpool supporters, by the way, is it, Steve?
I don't know who he supported, red or blue. But this guy was saying to me, I won't say who this guy is, but he was saying to me, Liverpool needs to reapply for its World Heritage status at some point. Is that correct? And that before Everton want to press ahead, they want to make sure that Liverpool has got its new 10-year tenure of the World Heritage status. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
You know what this city's like for rumours. You know. I could easily spread a rumour going outside this door.
You
and
like that one, though, don't you?
Yeah, you can spread rumours like that. I could go and speak to a taxi driver down in Williamson Square and spread a rumour. It's so, so easy in this city, isn't it? No, I just... Listen, there's going to be a lot of rumours. What's going on? Is it falling through? Everton can't find the funding, etc. But reading between the lines from what we were told on the podcast is that Everton FC are attracting other investments in regards to the stadium from all over the world. So don't be surprised if there's a company in the Far East or outside of Europe sometimes that will want to invest in Everton in terms of naming rights on the stadium. So it's not just Liverpool City Council that are, I'm not going to say get their begging bowl out, so to speak, but listen, it's a council deal. £7 million a year the Liverpool City Council will make alone. Off Everton, so for the city of Liverpool, it'll make sense for the city of Liverpool Council and Everton to come together and say, yeah, that's the deal for us. But if Everton was to go elsewhere, Joe Anderson just say on the podcast, he said, listen, we'll still be happy that we've got a world class basically arena on the waterfront. Now, I made a point as well on the podcast, Steve, is that what annoys me, and it doesn't annoy me as such, but you've got the Echo Arena there, it holds 10,000. Why are we having to go to Old Trafford, the Etihad, to watch the Rolling Stones, Oasis? That we've just seen this week that Liverpool...
Don't have to go to Anfield.
Exactly, well, this is what I'm trying to say. John, another interesting quote off Joe on the podcast, he said, he was speaking to John W. Henry a couple of weeks ago, and he said, why don't you put planning permission in for concerts and boxing events? He goes, we use Anfield for the football. He said, you're using it for 18 games a season. That's all using.
Have you put a rumor out there that it's Joe Anderson's brainwave?
Well, think about
the Rolling Stones.
What you tend to forget is that it's not used all summer. Anfield. It's basically using it from August to May, so it's not getting used all summer. And then you're only from August to May, you're only using it for home matches. So you're playing after season away. So it's only getting used 18 times a season. So make the use of it.
Like the Etihad too.
Of course.
They've got loads of concerts there.
It's a cash cow, the Etihad. Everyone from Merseyside is going to the Etihad. And this week, Rolling Stones on at Old Trafford. Why should Liverpool and Scousers be going all the way to Manchester to watch their favourite pop group? Should be going to the Waterfront Stadium where there's 50, 60,000 people. Makes common sense.
Down by the waterfront. Right, let's have a little listen to you and Joe having a natter on this new podcast. It's called All Together Now.
How would you feel personally, Joe, if Everton did go elsewhere as an attractive investment for the stadium?
Well, I'd be hugely disappointed. And I guess, you know, the frustrating thing for me is when I, you know, hear people who are just, you know, playing politics with this, you know, sort of like, you know, it's not just Liverpool fans, it's other people, you know, playing politics, whether it's the Liberal Democrats or, you know, the extreme left who are saying, you know, you shouldn't be lending to a socialist billionaire. They don't understand that, you know, from my point of view, you know, we've lost 58% of our funding and I need every penny to try and protect. It's the same people who are attacking me because we're losing services. They're not attacking the government, they're attacking me. But, you know, these people, if it forces Everton to go elsewhere or you know, then I'll be hugely disappointed.
That's funny at the start of that when Craig says, how would it feel if Everton were forced to go elsewhere? And I'm thinking, what, build a stadium elsewhere?
Yeah, we asked Joe and he obviously he'd be gutted as an Evertonian or someone who's been at the forefront of this whole project. Joe would be gutted, but for Liverpool, listen, you've got an iconic stadium on the waterfront, so it'll only help attract investments into the city, hotels, bars, restaurants. Imagine the investments in the city that stadium will attract. It's got huge potential. Another line from the podcast as well, Steve, is that, and I was adamant on trying to get this from him because there's been a lot of questions asked and he's tried to bat it away. And I was adamant on getting this. He says 11,000 jobs. And I went, Joe, it's all well and good making 11,000 jobs. Will they go to local people? Will they go to the local electricians, plumbers, etc., the construction work? And he was adamant that will be the case. There'll be a lot of apprenticeships, a lot of local supply chains will be involved. And I was adamant, and that was good news for me. It's no good building, obviously, a lovely stadium, creating 11,000 jobs if they're going elsewhere to German companies and outside Europe. Local businesses will be used. So that was a really good line for me and more important than anything else.
Terrific. If you want to listen to the whole interview, it's on the website altogethernowpodcast.com. The boys have just started it, Greg O'Keefe and Tony. And it looks fab. Let's talk about a few other things. Nabil Fekir is a name that is more than heavily linked now with Liverpool. Though the Lyon chairman seems to be indicating nothing will be wrapped up soon. But they do that, don't they? Yeah.
Squeeze every euro out of Liverpool.
Yeah, in other words, not 48 million, 48.5 is what I want. What do we know about Nabil Fekir in the time we've sort of learnt Liverpool interested in him?
Well, from what I've seen of him, I watched him twice last season for against Everton. Didn't stand out, Steve, but listen, he didn't play many minutes in the French World Cup squad qualifying, did he? I think it was 9 minutes overall, 2 appearances. He's basically going to replace Philip Coutinho as like a number 10. I think a lot of Liverpool fans would expect him to play as a central, as a replacement for Henderson or Wijnaldum or a chance, so to speak. He's not that type of player, apparently, by all accounts. He's going to be like a number 10, a Coutinho, a creative spark. And you can see what Jurgen Klopp's building. He's looking at that Champions League final and thinking, what I could have done with a player of Fekir's ilk to come off that bench and change a game for me. Someone when it's nip and tuck and you run against the cost, a game changer. And it looks as though looking at all the stats, his goals and assists this season, that he's that type of player. Huge amount of money, in my opinion, for a player who, I think it was just 18 months ago, suffered a cruciate ligament injury. I think he was out for 9 months. He was out for, I think it was 2 months last season as well. So the medical staff are going to go through every tooth comb there over in Paris when they're doing his medical. Listen, 40, it's buttons now in this day and age, and that's the going rate for any kind of player who's in, especially in a World Cup. It's interesting that Liverpool were keen to get this deal done before the World Cup, in case he has a good World Cup, and then his price, obviously, he'll
spiral. Is that the only reason?
Well,
Do you really want to be chasing a player immediately after the World Cup ends?
Well, what's the if you look at it, say if he was to not play many minutes, would his value go down?
Is he in the starting 11 for
no,
France?
No, he doesn't get... I was looking at... He is in the World Cup squad. He played 9 minutes in qualifying, Steve. Now, obviously, he's got... Listen, French is... For the French attackers, it's just unbelievable. You've got your Pogba, your Griezmann, your Mbappe, your Giroud. You've got all kinds of quality players in there. So, listen, if he doesn't get his game for France, that doesn't mean that he's a bad player. They've got real quality in that squad, haven't they? I just feel as if 50 million for a player... I don't know. Listen, we said this about Salah last season, didn't he? 35 million for a player who hasn't done anything in the Premier League. Mm. Now, look what he's done. He's worth 10 times that. Do you know what I mean? He just don't know. If he contributes with a game-changing moment, which Liverpool desperately needed last season in the big game, that's what they needed most, a game-changer in a big, big game. And I think that's where Liverpool lacked last season.
Although Liverpool did spot potential with Mo Salah. So you might hope it's a similar situation. I've just got maybe a French lineup here. So their midfield would be Pogba, Conte and Tolisso. And then further forward, Dembele, Griezmann and Mbappe.
And Pogba...
Yeah, well, I mentioned Pogba in the midfield there. So that's what he's struggling against. But
Lacazette can't get in the French squad, so he's done well to even get in the squad. It shows you what the French international team think of him. There's been a lot of players who've been left out that French squad, so it shows you he's got the quality. Let's see if he can do in the Premier League.
23 goals for Lyon last season. Although it is Ligue 1, isn't it? Yeah. Which maybe is indicative of that, but fascinating to see how good he is. And Liverpool have spent a fair bit of cash, haven't they, since they've sold Philippe Coutinho?
Just a bit. I was looking at it yesterday, obviously having a little bit of a wind-up on my WhatsApp group with my Liverpool mates, and I think Jurgen Klopp's going to be close to spending £500 million since he's been... I know he's recuperated the net spend, et cetera, et cetera, but nearly close to £450 million Jurgen Klopp has spent. Now he's gone... And I love Jurgen Klopp, the way he plays football. Mm. Mauricio Pochettino, the same. But where do you draw the line? And this season, he's going to have to deliver the trophy, Steve. He's going to have to deliver a trophy. You can't just say, yeah, we're getting to the big games and we're dining at the top table, etc. Me, like Everton, myself, I haven't seen Everton win a trophy for a long time. Liverpool won trophy in 13, 14 years. So they're going to have to get a trophy on board. It's no good playing attacking football, getting to the top four. Now, say for argument's sake, Jurgen Klopp was to get top four next season. Would Liverpool fans be happy with that? Or do you want a trophy?
Yeah, you need more.
So where do you draw the line? Don't get me wrong, Liverpool are improving so much under Jurgen Klopp. He's doing a fantastic job. But where do you draw the line?
It's not just a trophy. You need a certain standard of trophy, I think, now.
Well, would you take a League Cup and a top four place next season?
Personally?
Yeah.
No. I want more.
Yeah, we all want more. I want to see Everton
play
in the Premier League.
I mean, you know, you get to the Champions League final. You feel like your team deserves more than a League Cup.
Yeah, but... It's greedy, isn't it? But that's the general football fan. You always want more. If Everton were to win the Champions League, you want them to win it again next year, and the year before, and the year after, and the year after. And that's what football fans want. You always want more. But I feel as if the more pressure now is going to be on Jurgen Klopp this season with the money he spent and the 3 years he's been at the club now, you're going to have to see, listen, we're going to have to see a trophy at the end of this. And I know that more than anything. I'm an Evertonian, do you know what I mean? So... There's going to become a time when you say, listen, let's deliver a trophy. There's been a lot of money spent. Yeah, he's recuperated a lot. We obviously accepted the Coutinho money and et cetera. But look at it now, trophy time. That's what Liverpool, I'm told growing up, I've got family members with Liverpool fans, Liverpool exists to win trophies. That's all they do. Well, one League Cup in 2012, not on since 2006. So that one League Cup since 2006. Well, that's 12 years, Steve. For Liverpool, it's not good enough.
You don't remember that League Cup, do you?
Against Cardiff.
No one talks about it. Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure,
another
Steve.
Big shout out to Tony's brand new podcast with Greg O'Keefe. We'll get him on the show in the next few weeks. All Together Now, podcast.com.